Good morning, sir, and what is your name, sir?
Good morning, sir. My name is Victor Holbein.
Well, we are Mr. Holbein.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Neal will serve as your panel lead, so if we just hold on for a moment, the next voice you hear will be that of the Honorable Mr. Neal, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, sir. Will you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Good morning. My name is Victor Holbein, ABC number 198033.
Thank you. You're appearing before the Area 1 Board of Executive Presidency this morning in reference to your community supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing. To my very far right is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and to his left is the Honorable Louis Canonis, and to my right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Bright, who's our board chairman. Also, my name is David Gill, and I'll be the hearing lead. Also, in the room today, we have Mr. Trummer from the Department of Corrections, and he will also represent the parole office today.
Okay.
Prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
On that form, you were notified your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a license of attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today?
Today, I'm representing myself, sir.
All right, I'm going to swear to you, Mr. Turner, in this time, so do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so firm?
I do, sir.
I do.
Okay, here we will let you in two phases, sir. Phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. Then in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the two allegations that are on your form. After each one, I'm going to ask if it's true or false. If you think it's false, we'll get more information from Mr. Turner, and we'll talk about it, okay?
Okay, sir.
My allegation number one is violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about February 21st, 2018, per the task individual testing compliant summary dated March 5th, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That's true, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Allegation number two, violation of Arizona conditional supervision number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow directives on your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for face-to-face contact visit on or about February 26, 2018, as directed in writing on February 23, 2018. You were actively avoiding supervision, thus you were an absconder from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true, sir.
Thank you. Okay, based on the admissions of Mr. Holbein, I am going to move to find that he was delinquent as he violated terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree?
Agree.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Light and Mr. Knobler. Okay, sir. We're going to move into phase two in a moment, but first, Mr. Turner is going to give some background information. So I'll stay on the phone, and I'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Mr. Turner.
Mr. Holbein was released from ADC custody on 9/25/2017 and arrested on 4/24/2018 by Tolleson PD. No new charges noted. He was returned to ADC custody on 4/24/2018 with an adjusted CSEB of 11/21/2018 with 57 abscond days. Current conviction, 2011, commitment D, count 1, burglary in the second degree, 7 years. 2008, commitment E, count 1, marijuana violation, 1 year. Prior convictions, 2005, commitment A, count 2, theft, 1 year. 2007, commitment B, count 1, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2008, commitment C, count 2, flight from law vehicle, 2 years, 3 months. This is his second term in ADC. He has a CUIR score of 5.5, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. He self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang Southside Phoenix. prior supervision, 2005, TIS release, absconded for 56 days, arrested, revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is moderate with drugs, violence, tampering with security device noted. Other arrest, 2008, marijuana violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. Has a GV score of G7V8.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Kelly, you're going over a summary of your case supervision. So, on September 25th, 2017, you were approved to reside at 1140 East Redwood Drive in Phoenix, Arizona, and that was your last known residence. Did you stay there the entire time you were out, or did you go somewhere else?
No, I stayed there, sir.
Okay. It shows that you were employed at Recycle One in on 32nd Street in Phoenix. The company said you only worked there approximately 2 weeks and you were no longer employed on that was on the 1st of February is when that report was made. Did you have any other employment or was that the only place you worked?
I worked there and underneath the taillight side jobs, like cleaning houses and the yards and things like that, doing mechanic work. But that was the only job that I found that would hire me.
Okay. So it shows that you were assigned to a task for random analysis under the color code code. And shows that your color was called. Your color was called 7 times. You started out in October with a negative, but then you failed to. Because you failed to drop 3 times, and it was 3 negatives, but you failed to submit the 3 times. Doesn't show any positive delays, but you failed to submit, and you had an adulterated or an altered unsuitable sample. So, were you doing any drugs or marijuana at all, sir?
No, I wasn't, sir. It was just the only diluted sample was from drinking too much water, which Chad advised me to not drink too much water before dropping.
Yes, that's true. And if you're in an area or stuff like that, I see where you might be drinking a little too much water for that. Why did you fail to submit the times you were supposed to and you didn't drop? Why was that?
Honestly, I just spaced it out to Paul. I was busy with life, and Chad just advised me just to make sure I stay on top of it.
Right. Well, unfortunately, when you're on community supervision is definitely a part of your life that you got to pay attention to. So you were referred to CHC for the criminal treatment program. You completed initial assessment in September and attended 7 scheduled classes, but you failed to attend class 5 times, so you had not completed the program. Why didn't you go to those 5 classes, sir?
It's because I live on South Phoenix, and where they had me going to the program was on 75th Avenue and Indian School, all the way in West Phoenix. So trying to juggle that with working, the scheduling was just too hectic for me to juggle, so I got with Carol, who is my counselor, and try to reschedule and work around and see if we can come up with a better schedule to accommodate my work schedule. And so we had moved it to Fridays. And when I would go, she doesn't even work there on the Fridays at that location. She works all the way in Glendale. So I would have to take the bus from South Phoenix to 75th Avenue and Indian School, she not be there, and then provided, oh, she's in Glendale today, and me having to go to Glendale bouncing back and forth, you know? So sometimes I would miss my classes because catching the bus and then having to go from Indian School to Glendale.
Okay.
So we would just reschedule, and Carol didn't seem to have an issue with me rescheduling and missing those days initially.
So you had a sanction because you were had police contact when you had a contact when the driver's seat of a moving vehicle, and you weren't supposed to be, or you hadn't had approval to drive at that time. What happened to that, sir?
No, the vehicle wasn't moving. It was parked in a parking lot at a store. And I was waiting for an individual to come out who actually was driving. And I was fixing something on the driver's side. And when the cops came, I happened to be in the driver's side vehicle, but I wasn't driving the vehicle or anything. It was parked in a store parking lot in a parking space with the engine turned off.
Okay, why did the police contact you?
I guess the individual had a warrant or something was wrong with their vehicle, so when they were passing by, I guess they ran their plates and it came back as something. I wasn't too sure. The police didn't inform me as to why they had pulled up, but that individual ended up going to jail, and the cops ended up just writing me like they didn't arrest me or take me to jail. It's just like, hey, make sure you advise your parole officer that we made contact with you. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I advised Chad, like, hey, look, I have police contact, and I even gave him the paperwork that the police department had given me. I took it in and gave it to Chad so he can read it and everything. And he seen that I was doing nothing wrong, so he didn't violate me on that. So that's what transpired right there.
Okay. I'll see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Okay, so we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will be going in discussion to make a determination in a couple of minutes. But before we do that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. We ask that you don't repeat the information you've already given us, but if you have anything else you think we should know, then now is the time to let us know, okay?
Okay, sir. Yes, I have a letter right here. It says, Dear Chairman of the Parole Board, first let me assure you that I take full responsibility for my actions and poor judgment that led to me violating parole. I have no excuse. I messed up and I slipped. I honestly believe I became extremely overwhelmed after being incarcerated for 6 years. You tend to adapt to your environment after some time. So attempting to transition from 24/7 lockdown and the environment around it into society with responsibilities became too much all at once. Juggling classes, a job, attempting to build and maintain a better life than the one I'm accustomed to, along with the role of being a husband and losing a child, contributed to my downfall. Now you mix all of that with my mental health issues such as bipolar, depression, and schizophrenia, which I'm currently on meds for, became too much at that moment, and I got frustrated and broke weak. I'm ashamed of myself. Now I am better prepared and realize how significant my presence and my family life is, as well as how much I'm gambling with my own life here behind bars. As long as my CHC classes scheduling is a better, more equipped schedule for my job, I will be able to successfully complete the 6 months I have left on parole. I personally believe that prison is only deteriorating my life's social skills and negatively affecting my relationship with my family. I am currently under investigation to be accepted into the 805 protected custody due to me not wanting to be involved in part of prison politics or gangs anymore. So my life is at stake right now, and GP has a kill order on me. So I've been assaulted once before because of it and one other attempt. So I'm really not even safe incarcerated. I'm not trying to die here in prison. I only have 6 months. So I'm asking for help and an opportunity. I've never had an opportunity to be on the ankle bracelet, intense parole, inpatient programming, I finished parole successfully before, so I understand what it takes and the discipline it takes to complete it. I finished 7 out of 10 classes. I still have my old job at Recycle One recycling plant, if reinstated. I do understand how me absconding looks bad on my part, but that would only transpire as me as an effect of the loss of my child and uncle in the same month. So grieving and trying to get my priority and household together before I turn myself in played a major role into that. And I apologize and take the full responsibility. This is my first and only time in front of the parole board, and I'm willing to do intense parole, go to Desert Vista for my mental health issues, and do the ankle bracelet if given this opportunity. I hope that you consider my acceptance of responsibility, remorse, traumatic childhood and upbringing, mental health issues, community support, as well as me being a prospect for rehabilitation, along with me catching no new charges and turning myself in. Thank you for you guys' time. Respectfully, Victor Robot.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Turner.
Yes, I'd like to note for the record that on 3/15/2018, APR letters were mailed at the following addresses: 1140 East Desert Drive, Phoenix, Arizona, 85042, 8607 South 9th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85042, 142 West Riverside, Phoenix, Arizona, 85041.
Thanks, sir. Okay, Mr. Holding, the board will be going into the discussion in a moment to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're addressing you, but it won't be. But we ask you to stay on the phone, stay silent, and you can hear the discussion and the decision, okay?
Okay, yes, sir.
And the board is now in discussion. Well, Mr. Holding seems to have problems juggling the responsibilities of going back into the community, doing the work in the counseling, and he would probably have better luck if he could concentrate on his work and things like that without having the responsibility of answering to DOC, but with the, you know, he's got 6 months left, but with the just shy of 2 months of scaling time, and it's almost exactly the same amount of time being scaled the last time he was on TIF. I don't see him as a good candidate for return to community supervision at this time, but I'm going to listen to a discussion from my fellow board members. So based on our information, we're on 2018W0655, Mr. Holding's testimony and information from Department of Correction. One, the remote community supervision of Mr. Holding and he was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapse or without lapse in a couple ways or company.
Second.
Agree. Motion by myself. Seconded by Mr. Canales. Agreed by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson. Well, Mr. Holding, we have voted beforehand of order to revoke your committee supervision at this time. Hopefully, between now and the time you are ready to be released, you can put together a good plan so that when you do get released, you can concentrate on your employment and your family. And in the meantime, if there is any program that you can take, we suggest you try to, you know, take whatever you can get to help you when you're getting out. We realize then the preventing custody and stuff is limited, but put together a plan, get information out to your family so they can get things in place for you. And you should be released on or about November 21st, 2018. We do wish you the best of luck. And this will end your hearing, sir. And would you put the CLT act on the phone, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you.